Hello, and welcome back to the Send Parenting Balance podcast. My name is Katie Walker, and I talk all things parenting children with ADHD, autism, and/or PDA. Thank you for joining me. Today, we are going to talk about the mental load. The mental load in a Send household seems somewhat ridiculous some days, and it can feel like a total sacrifice. The mental load of parenting as a whole, neurodiverse or neurotypical, is definitely the unseen labour involved in managing a household with children. This includes all of the planning, the scheduling, and overseeing of all the daily activities. It's everything from what do we have for dinner to the permission slip at school and whether that dentist appointment was booked. Ooh, and please don't forget to pick up a birthday present for that party invite that we still have sat on the microwave. It fuels a very large proportions of the arguments between partners because, well, the mental load can feel exhausting, especially if you're the only person carrying it. And of course, if you're a single parent, this mental load can not only be exhausting, but it can also cause sleepless nights and anxiety. Now, if like me, you're a parent to a child with autism, ADHD, and/or PDA, or multiple children, this mental load increases to a ridiculous amount. And we are going to unbox what some of this mental load is and the impacts it can have. What I find personally is a lot of this mental load seems to be the administration behind having a child with autism, ADHD, and PDA. It's the emails, the telephone calls, the appointments, the teacher messages, the form filling of the DLA, the assessments, the EHCP tribunals, and all of these genuinely are a full-time job, a full-time administration job. And yet it's impossible to plan ahead, because everything seems to come unexpectedly and sometimes all at once. The other part of the mental load that seems to really get me is the stuff needed for the day. You know, that bag that needs to be remembered wherever you go. I call it the sensory bag. It's the bag with the favourite and only juice cup that will be used. It's the bag with the safe foods in it for the every 30-minute snack demands. The bag with the headphones in it if things become too overwhelming, and the squishies, and of course, we all know the iPad. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but if you've ever forgotten this bag, or you've had to leave the bag behind due to leaving the house in a rush, I can absolutely assure you from one SEN parent to another that you probably will never forget it again in a hurry due to the meltdown that would have been had the moment you realised you'd forgotten it. Because the ability for children to accept a whoops moment just doesn't exist. The ability for a child to drink out of a different juice bottle doesn't exist. And no iPad will cause such a meltdown that you'll either go back to get the bag, or if you're anything like me, admit defeat and return home. The other part of the mental load, not only is it all of those administration jobs each and every day and each and every week, and the things that we need just to leave the house, but it's also the interventions within the house. They are really timely. They can't be rushed and they require such a lot of patience. You need to be fully invested in energy, body language, and tone of voice. Otherwise, your child will know and they will let you know. Now, what I find really difficult, that in fact plays on my own anxiety at times, is not being able to plan how long these interventions take. Because on one day, say for example, getting dressed may take 10 minutes, on another day, it can take 40 minutes. And so trying to plan anything is incredibly difficult. The other element to this mental load is the 24/7 anxiety. It is like no other. Let me explain. Quite often, I'll watch my children playing, but I'm watching constantly and I'm waiting for it to go wrong. That level of anxiety is I'm just in fight or flight the whole time. It's the trying to read the body language, it's the Wondering if the teacher's going to speak to you today when you're stood on the playground. It's the invite to the party that you attend but wish you didn't. Or when they're at school, the anxiety of whether they're being kind to others or indeed others are kind to them and their quirky ways. It's the anxiety of whether the school's interventions are helping or hindering, and whether they can manage the social communication and life skills that you know that they have huge difficulties with at home. The anxiety exists even if, and it's very rare, if you leave them with someone like a friend or a babysitter, because they don't tend to respond well to new routines or expectations. And so that anxiety, even when you're out the house, can stay. This anxiety will exist if somebody comes to the home for a cuppa, even if it's a close member of the family or friend, because who knows what your child may say or do. The anxiety is always waiting to hear from an assessment or meeting within the last few weeks, and the anxiety of the meeting that might also be coming up. The other part of the mental load, other than this anxiety and the interventions, and the administration and the sensory bag and everything we need to leave the house, is the parent guilt. The parent guilt, the what ifs that we tell ourselves in the hypothetical situations. What if this? What if that? I wish I could turn that off sometimes. The what ifs is so loud that sometimes it takes over my brain. And this brain noise happens all day, every day. No break, no day off. I'm going to say that that is an awful load of mind junk right there. That's an awful lot of anxiety right there. That's an awful lot of stuff to worry about and mental load. What can happen is that parents and carers of neurospicy children can function in fight or flight for prolonged periods of time. I'm not just talking half an hour, I'm talking days, days on end. In fact, most of the day. What then happens over time is our brains and bodies get used to being in that heightened state of anxiety, and it can be really hard to switch off, almost like it's a behaviour that we've learned, it's a go-to. This can cause stress, anxiety, sleep deprivation. And over time, it can cause chronic illness. It can cause feelings of depression, difficulty caring about anything. It can cause a sense of detachment. It can cause anger and irritability. It can cause difficulty processing and managing emotions, and really difficult staying mindful when we're in fight or flight ourselves. Mental load can never go away if you're a parent or carer of a child with autism, ADHD, or PDA. But there are some tips to help reduce mental load, and they are important to consider because we need to try and release that stress. So if you have a partner, share the load, or share the load with a trusted friend or family member. Worry writing is also a good thing to try. Get yourself a plain book and write out all the worries to get them out of your head and onto paper. Perhaps you could try guided journaling. How about counselling sessions just for you? Just to talk about all of this stuff, how you're feeling, what you need. You could make a daily to-do list in the morning so you don't have to store it all in your mind. Your notes on your phone is a really good way to do this when you're out and about. If you're anything like me, things come to me at all sorts of times through the day. So I just write them in my notes on my phone so that I can just forget about them again. Set boundaries with yourself. Say no to stuff not related to your child. Say no to stuff you don't really need to do. Prioritising self-care, even in 5 minutes a day. Just here and there throughout the day. Really important because it teaches you to slow down, to come out of fight or flight, to figure out what it is that you're thinking, what you need. Practice mindfulness throughout the day and try and connect to what you're doing. So even if you're really busy, rushing from A to B, you can still be mindful in the moment and see things that you maybe you wouldn't usually notice. Make space for being mindful. Try and sit in silence with no screen distractions. I said it, no screen distractions. You could try an app like Headspace or Aura is very good. Aura is spelled Aura. Meditation, also a very good one. On the apps, I think, for Headspace or Aura, you can access guided meditations, and some of them are only 3 minutes long. Exercise is also very good. This can help to release stress. It can help to gather your thoughts while you're exercising. Practice quieting the mind just for a few moments each day. Try not to focus on those hypothetical situations, those what ifs. See if we can get rid of those what ifs. And of course, talk about it. Parents can function on autopilot, love their children dearly, and underprioritize themselves for such a long period that they can lose who they are, who they were. It can feel like we are just carers 24/7 from one intervention to the next, from one meltdown to the next. It can feel like a complete sacrifice, a sacrifice of your time and your own wants, needs, and desires, because you are all too consumed in your caring responsibilities. When caring for children with ADHD, autism, and/or PDA, it can feel that each phase seems to somehow blend into the next phase, with little hope of letting up on your time sacrifice and mental load anytime soon. It is so important to appreciate all you do, the mental load you're holding, and the sacrifices that you have made. I cut down my hours a few years ago to a bare minimum, and even this was a struggle to maintain. This is because I could not care for all of the children's needs and the household, the finances, and keep everything going. And keep my head above water. I have so much admiration for those that are managing to stay in the workplace and have this mental load from home. I had to take a back step to prioritize me and accept and value that I too need sleep. I too need a moment to emotionally regulate. And I too need to see all that I am doing. You have to prioritize you, otherwise, who will? It was only when I started putting me first, after the children, of course, that I realised this was the key to strength and feeling better. It is a balance between providing for your neurospicy child's needs within a very unsupportive and underfunded society against the tides of exhaustion, while still finding pockets of time to keep your own health happy. This balancing act won't go to plan every single day of the week. That's life. However, we can aspire to attempting to gain it on most days. Some people try not to think about their stress and use excuses like, these feelings will pass with time. I don't have time to work on me. It is what it is. Without consciously knowing it, these are excuses, avoiding prioritizing ourselves. I used to make these excuses. Once I forced my own hand and got creative at finding tiny slots of time to do things to try and stop the mental overload, just for a moment here and there, then my mental and physical health did start to improve. So here's a little reminder for you that it's okay to sit still while the rest of the world is moving. It is not selfish to prioritize you. And it is important to slow that overthinking mind down so that your body doesn't get stuck in fight or flight and high anxiety for prolonged periods of time. I do hope that this podcast has given you a little bit of insight into why you may be feeling exhausted. Sometimes we don't necessarily need to be feeling exhausted due to physical exertion, but it can just be due to that heavy mental load. I do hope you have the most wonderful day ahead of you and that you are kind to yourself today. And of course, as always, please do find me at www.sendparentingbalance.com. I look forward to seeing you next time.